Could you name off all the major amateur radio-affiliated emergency preparedness organizations in the United States today? You'll find out in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. From the Radio Amateur Information Network, I'm Will Rogers, K5WLR, with the rain report for June 30th. During one of the ARRL-sponsored forums held at the 2018 Dayton-Hamvention in mid-May, many of the major emergency preparedness organizations participated in a panel discussion narrated by ARRL Emergency Preparedness Manager Mike Corey, KI1U. Here's an excerpt from that forum.
The purpose of this panel discussion is a chance to have representatives from all the national level amateur radio public service programs and some of our partners. Our panel for today, we are a short one. Dave Stapchuk from Air Force Mars is unable to join us this morning, but we do have Paul English from Army Mars here, as well as Ross Merlin from SHARES, Rob Macedo from VOIP Hurricane Net, Ted Okada from FEMA, Malcolm Kaiser from Civil Air Patrol, and Bill Feast from Salvation Army. Each speaker can introduce themselves, what they do within that organization, their call sign. Outside of public service activities, what area of amateur radio interests you most, aside from the public service aspect?
My name is Paul English, Whiskey Delta 8, Delta Bravo Yankee, the chief of Army Mars as of last year. Our headquarters is out at Fort Huachuca, Arizona. I actually work out of my house. I'm a telework employee in Central Texas, just outside of Fort Hood. The Mars program takes amateur radio operators, volunteers who want to support Department of Defense through the military auxiliary radio system. You join up with either Army Mars or Air Force Mars. We put you through some special training on military message formats, military digital protocols, and as Ross Merlin says, we sprinkle some fairy dust, and boom, you are now a Mars operator supporting DOD. We actually support a classified mission through the Mars program, and we train for that through four quarterly exercises. Every October, November time frame, we do our capstone exercise. We do a high-power 60-meter broadcast. If you successfully receive that broadcast and acknowledge that, we send out QSL cards. So that's a way that we reach out to the general amateur radio population, because our service, in order to do what we need to do in support of Department of Defense, we need support from the larger amateur radio community. There are more of you than there are of us. We have to work together to support this. Amateur radio, I just started dabbling in amateur satellites. I was looking up on the Google Net, and I saw the ad build a $4 satellite antenna. So I said, I think I can do that. And I've successfully done that. My $4 amateur satellite antenna, I have been on Oscar.
Hi, I'm Malcolm Kaiser with the Civil Air Patrol. Call sign is KG4G. Civil Air Patrol is a little different than some of the other programs in that we don't necessarily use amateur operators. We are a flying organization. We have the world's largest fleet of Cessna airplanes, about 500 fairly new, shiny airplanes, and about 1,000 ground teams. And all that flying activity, about 100,000 hours a year, requires a lot of communication support. So we use people from all walks of life to do our communications. We provide the communications equipment. But the hams are kind of the rock stars in our comm system, because they're the ones that understand why the things don't work when you don't have the antenna connected and other little details like that. So we're here to talk to other people who enjoy radio like we do and tell you that we can use people like you. Your knowledge and experience is something that we value highly. Outside of that, my personal interest in amateur radio has always been HF. For about 40 years I've been operating federal government HF stations, but I enjoy HF and HF antennas and HF propagation and building HF nets. That's what flips my switch.
I'm Ross Merlin, Whiskey Alpha 2, Whiskey Delta Tango. I'm the SHARES program manager. SHARES comes from the word shared resources. The purpose of the SHARES program was within federal government, for all those agencies that have HF resources, they ought to be able to talk to each other during an emergency. But radio regulations are pretty much designed to keep everyone apart. Our program is designed to bring everyone together. So when an agency joins the SHARES program, they're authorized to use a large pool of federal frequencies that we have, and they can share some of their frequencies with other SHARES members, so that during an emergency, if people aren't on a net, they're on their own agency's frequency, they have the authority to go to another agency's frequency, call them, pass traffic, and then go back to wherever they need to be. One of the good things about this is we have agencies sharing a pool of frequencies instead of trying to get their own frequencies. If everyone had to get their own frequencies for these low probability contingency operations, there'd be great demand on radio spectrum, and at least on paper, the fixed service bands are all full. So by making it easy for agencies to share frequencies, there's no pressure to, say, take away frequencies from the amateur radio allocations. We're able to live within our federal allocations by effectively sharing frequencies instead of competing for the little bit that's available. Our operations were intended to be to use existing stations that agencies have, just create a path for them to talk to each other. But during Hurricane Maria, we were given a FEMA mission assignment to do something we never did before. That was to deploy radio operators into the disaster area, bringing their own personal HF equipment and at least a 50-watt VHF radio. This was about the time the ARL's force of 50 was phasing out. We were asked to bring people in. The difference was our folks were told minimum of a 30-day deployment, and we'll pay the transportation and lodging and meals, but we can't pay a salary. Amateur radio does great providing resources, and 1 week or 2 weeks, you know, most folks will have enough vacation time, they can do that. But when you're asking people to go without salary for minimum of 30 days, there's a smaller pool to do that. We were asked to come up with 10 people, and we got 10, and they were able to do the 30-day deployment, and they provided communications between the FEMA Joint Field Office and FEMA branch offices, four that were opened up at various places on the island. The main island is 100 miles across, about 35 miles north to south, with huge mountain ranges in the middle. Very challenging environment. VHF is only good in pockets, but you can't talk from one end to the other. So HF was a good solution. Our folks were selected that they had to be at least a general class ham, as well as in the federal shares program. So they had access to both amateur radio networks that were going on and federal networks. There's three things you can do on shares that you can't do in amateur radio. We can run encryption. We can use higher symbol rate data transmissions than what you can do in amateur radio. And you don't have to have a licensed operator. So when you're in a facility that has limited access and people have to be cleared, being able to use the existing staff, sometimes that works, but having outside volunteers can't come in. We don't compete with amateur radio. There's this little niche that we can do, and we tell agencies, if amateur radio meets your emergency communications needs, please do that. So we're kind of like amateur radio with a budget. We're kind of like the civilian Mars. But we would be the hippie Mars. It's like, yeah, sure, whatever, man, we're cool. We don't have training requirements, and we don't have participation requirements. And those are some of the strengths of the Mars program. So we encourage the Mars people to register in our program, and we get the benefits of the good, well-structured program they do without the overhead. But we provide more opportunities for those folks who want to serve to be able to do that. So outside of my federal radio job, I enjoy HF, used to be a CW traffic operator, enjoy the data modes, automatic link establishment, field day, of course, and a little bit of contesting and a little bit of DXing. I'm working my way up in the mediocre station division, consistently achieving mediocre results.
You're listening to an excerpt from the 2018 Dayton Hamvention Emergency Preparedness Forum, hosted by ARRL Emergency Preparedness Manager Mike Corey, KI1U. We'll hear more of the introductory comments by more of the Amateur Radio Emergency Preparedness panel in a moment. This is the RAIN Report. I'm Will Rogers, K5WLR.
You're listening to The RAIN Report from www.therainreport.com.
My name is Ted Okada, K4HNL. Like a lot of folks who are get involved in emergency management, you have a long career, but you re-enter amateur radio often. I'm a lapsed ham, K6IPW in Honolulu back in 1977, hence K4HNL. The first executive CTO in FEMA's history, and hopefully if I don't screw up, I won't be the last FEMA's history, because 2017 was certainly a difficult year for all of us, and it's a privilege to be on the panel with essentially good friends who have really been partners with us. FEMA, in many ways, is about partnership in what we call the whole community. And if you recall, at the 100th anniversary of amateur radio in Connecticut, the FEMA administrator, Craig Fugate, KK4INZ, gave this rousing call to action, this wonderful keynote, has really brought back amateur radio back into its proper place within emergency management and within FEMA. So there are a number of things that I'm involved in on the day job with regards to disasters is really just coordinating among these folks to my right and my left, as well as doing things like spectrum management. I fired off the STAs, the special temporary authorizations for the use of 60 meters, for example, for exercises, all the disasters. And we'll get into that a little bit later. Also helping to shape exercises as well, exercise division, as well as this idea that we need to build this culture of preparedness. Brock Long, our current FEMA administrator, has really trumped and moved forward the whole agency in understanding that we can't do this ourselves. Emergency management is not an essential government function outside of the fact that it heavily relies on partnerships. And so while we acknowledge things like the Stafford Act, executive authorities, it's really what we call organic authorities that really matters. Amateur radio is an important critical fabric, part of emergency management, down to fire departments, which are the atom of all emergency management and flowing up through cities and counties and states. So FEMA supports governors in the states, appropriately honoring the 10th Amendment and supporting our support to governors in the Stafford Act and as states support counties and cities and ultimately individual fire departments. That's really emergency management in the U.S. And we're a democracy. We really are a ground-up sort of culture in emergency management. It makes it difficult at times when there are compelling and challenging catastrophic disasters as we experienced last year. That being said, outside of my work hours, I gave a talk at Tapper 2 years ago. If you go back on YouTube, I think Ham Nation did the recording of that. Talked a little bit about the notion of sensors. So I love all the developments in Raspberry Pi and Whisper X. I had the privilege of traveling up to Princeton 2 years ago and meeting one of my heroes, Joe Taylor, who also spoke at the 100th anniversary, who came up with Whisper X and FT8. I've got a lot of room in my suitcase, so I just picked up a Zum Spot. So now I'm trying to figure out, do I get a 686 UV or a TYT MD 2017, a dual band. So I'm trying to figure that out. So if you have any suggestions, but DMR and Arden are two things in my club that we're really looking at this year. And we're thinking of sort of blanketing the capital region with a lot more Arden mesh. And certainly DMR is a big story for us. So
my name is Bill Feast. Call sign is William Bravo 8, Bravo Zulu Hotel. And I'm based out of Jackson, Mississippi. I am the National Saturn Liaison for the Salvation Army. Saturn is the Salvation Army Team Emergency Radio Network. We are the group of amateur radio operators that supports the Salvation Army in disaster areas in three different ways. One is by providing survivors in a disaster area with health and welfare traffic out of that area to loved ones outside of the disaster area to let them know that they're okay. The second way we help is with our incident command teams by providing them with tactical communications and then also with technical support. Those are our three primary missions within the Salvation Army. We are celebrating our 30th anniversary this year. We began in 1988 with Major Patrick McPherson at Whiskey 9 Echo. And many of you may have known Pat there when he was in charge of Saturn. We have recently acquired his call sign. Pat passed away 2 years ago, and we have acquired his call sign as the call sign for our national headquarters in memoriam of his work with Saturn. As for myself personally, what I enjoy doing outside of public service when I get the time is digital communications and rag chewing. I got into amateur radio to be a rag chewer and for the public service, and so that's still my interest 50 years later.
My name's Rob Macedo. My amateur radio call sign is Kilo Delta 1 Charlie Yankee, KD1CY, and I'm the director of operations for the VOIP Hurricane Net, and when we're not busy with hurricanes, I'm Also, the Eastern Mass Ares Assistant SEC for the Skywarn program at the National Weather Service in Boston Norton. And also, I'm on the Communications Committee for the Boston Marathon. I'm going to stick to the VOIP Hurricane Net for the purpose of this discussion. Our net links Echolink and IRLP systems to a single network on the WXTalk Echolink Conference and IRLP 9219 to provide surface reports and situational awareness and disaster intelligence information to the National Hurricane Center. And now, to an extent, many of the folks here at this panel take advantage of the information that we collect about what's happening with these hurricanes as they're making landfall. And it's very important because they can make decisions on what kind of recovery are they going to need for these areas, knowing that there's 100, 120, 140 mile per hour wind gusts, that there's structural damage in these areas. Sometimes we can even get photos and videos from these areas, collecting information from the amateurs that are there that are able to get this information to us, or using all kinds of the online sources of weather station information and even social media. Because let's face it, amateur radio is a great tool for when communications fail, but it's also a tool of gathering situational awareness because we're kind of an original form of social media, like Craig Fugate had mentioned in his keynote speech and at the Centennial and in other forums. So just another great way to do public service. I want to answer the question about what do I do in amateur radio when we're not doing public service. And I'm going to answer that in two parts. One is just in terms of what am I looking at in terms of other things to do in the service? I mean, I do HF occasionally. I pick up a mic at field day and ramble off a couple hundred contacts when I can at a different field day site. Oftentimes I'm visiting different field day sites. You're also really trying to learn more about DMR. I have a bunch of gear. Now I got to get to the point of actually programming and tinkering with it. So that's the next step there. But the other part, and I've only come to realize this in a few years, is how much amateur radio has kind of given me to me personally. Like all the different relationships that I've built now, and not just in my own home area, but in different parts of the country. Friends right here in Ohio, that part of the reason I come here isn't just to come and present, but to also visit friends and folks here, and just all the different things you do with your fellow amateurs beyond the public service event, whether it's afterwards meeting up for dinner or meeting up to talk about different things informally over at a restaurant or whatever. There's a lot of relationships there that I wouldn't have had without amateur radio. And it makes me think now, yeah, I give a lot to amateur radio, but I realize now how much it's given back to me. And it's sometimes something you miss when you're doing all this great work and this hurricane season that we had and some of the extreme efforts people went to make the recovery efforts work and so forth. I want to mention that I've realized in the last few years that the greatest gift is given back to you in doing all this work. So when you're thinking about, oh, I got to do this event and I've done this for so many years, and I'll also turn it on its head a little bit and think about what the service has given back to you and realize that, because it's only something I've realized here in the last couple of years myself. So with that, I'll turn it back to Mike.
Okay, thank you, guys. And I will also sort of answer the own question I posed. I'm not going to take myself out of the panel either. I think outside of amateur radio, my first love was DXing. My first contact was a DX contact when I was a novice, and it's just that bug stayed ever since. But now I take a lot of enjoyment in being on the other end of the pileup. I've had a chance to go on about half a dozen D expeditions, and each summer I operate from a island in Canada with my Canadian call sign, VE9IU. I call that my sanity check in amateur radio, so that can keep me connected to other aspects of our hobby as well.
And that concludes this excerpt from an amateur radio emergency preparedness panel discussion held during the 2018 ARRL Emergency Preparedness Forum at the Dayton Hamvention this past May. The RAIN report is copyright 1990-2018 RAIN, all rights reserved. The RAIN report updates Saturday on therainreport.com. This hamcast is heard Saturday evenings around 9 Central Daylight Time from Lebanon, Tennessee on shortwave station WTWW on 5.085 MHz. I'm Will Rogers, K5WLR, bidding you very 73 from the Radio Amateur Information Network. Keep on hamming!